All right. So I want to extend a really warm welcome to our new members, and thank you for coming, and thank you, everybody, for being here. I'm so excited to be here at this convention. And let's see, recorded meeting announcement. This meeting is being recorded with the intent to distribute. Recorded meetings provide a valuable resource for Essanon members. By voluntarily sharing in this recorded meeting, members are providing express permission to Essanon International Family Groups to record and distribute this material. As such, it's important to keep the following meeting guidelines in mind when sharing. When sharing, please speak clearly into the microphone without touching the recording equipment. As soon as you decide you want to share, please come up to the front and wait for the previous person to finish so there will be as little time lapse between shares as possible. To ensure this recorded meeting reflects the Essanon point of view, we ask that careful consideration is taken into account with the following guidelines. We do not mention or discuss specific titles and authors of publications other than Essanon, SA, Al-Anon, or AA conference-approved literature. We leave our other identities outside the discussions, other 12-step programs, issues, philosophies, religions, therapies, and occupations. We speak about and from the Essanon point of view. Please be aware that recording of this International Convention breakout session will be distributed widely. If you wish to share at this meeting and would like to protect your anonymity, instead of stating your first name, you may say, "Name withheld" in the spirit of Tradition 12, or choose to share at a meeting that is not recorded. The meeting begins. Okay. Let's open with the Serenity Prayer. Will those who care to join me in a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And hi, I'm Laura, and I'm from California. Hello. I have chosen the Essanon problem to read to you guys out of all the readings that I could select from, because that was the one that I really identified with in coming here. So the Essanon problem, short version. Essanon members have much in common with the friends and relatives of other addicted people. Most of us grew up in families with secrets, and we were not taught to think about our own needs and take positive action to meet them. We chose friends and partners who could not or would not love and support us in a healthy way. We lived life from the standpoint of victims and perceived any personal criticism as a threat. For most of us, anger, fear, and depression were nearly constant. We acquired some unhealthy beliefs about ourselves very early in our lives, that we were not worthwhile and lovable, that we were able to control other people's behavior, and that sex was the most important sign of love. We have also felt the shame in thinking that we were responsible for the sexaholic behavior of a family member or friend. Our self-esteem dropped to low levels, and we doubted our attractiveness, our emotions, and our sanity. We have felt betrayed by those we love the most. Many of us were sexually abused, exposed to diseases, and otherwise placed in physical danger. We were often too ashamed to ask for help. Some of us minimized the importance of the sexaholic behavior or denied it until we felt emotionally numb. Others focused on the sexaholic and the sexual behavior to the point of obsession and tried every known means to control it. Some of us participated in sexual behavior that made us ashamed of ourselves or used sex to manipulate the sexaholic. Some of us misused drugs, alcohol, or food, and others kept so busy that we didn't have time to feel our emotions. We often neglected our health, our jobs, and our children. No matter how we tried to struggle against it, deny it, or minimize its effects, the failure of our efforts to cope with sexaholism has brought us to the point of despair. This is what we mean when we say in the first step, our lives had become unmanageable. All right, so introduce the topic. If you're leading a facilitated breakout, talk about your own experience, strength, and hope as it relates to this topic for up to 10 minutes. So I'll try to keep a timer on here because I can be a talker. And the topic is stepping off the roller coaster today. And I have... I ask my higher power to speak through me right now and to say something that will be of help to somebody here in this room today. Amen. I have been in Essanon since November, so it's been 9 months for me, so I'm a little bit under a year. and not to discuss other philosophies, but I have 20 years in another 12-step program. So I thought this was really a problem with the sexaholic, you know, in my life. You know, there was some betrayal trauma. There was actually a lot of repeated betrayal trauma. And my reactions were something that I had never experienced in myself before. For whatever reason, with this particular qualifier, I went nuts. I've got physical. I yelled. I raged. I took his things hostage. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going nuts. Like, you know, maybe this is triggering, you know, a deeper look at myself that hasn't been addressed in previous work in 12-step programs. And my sponsor at the time in that other 12-step program had a similar instance with betrayal, and her husband had gone to SA. She had gone to Essanon, but she didn't go anymore. So she suggested that, and she suggested SLAA. And so I was, you know, in and out of different meetings and trying to figure out what worked. And I found this online group called Sunlight of the Spirit. And it was Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. It was predictable. I could make that work in my schedule. And I started to go, and I started to listen, and I started to resonate, and I started to identify, and I started to see that this was a problem that I had, that there was definitely something going on with me, that I continue to pick these unavailable people. And, you know, even in reading the Essanon problem, you know, I was taught very directly in growing up that, you know, Dad didn't mean that. Dad wouldn't have done that. It was because of what you did, or that wouldn't have happened. So I'm pretty hardwired to think and believe that if you're mad, it's because of something I did, and I should have done it better, and I just got to figure out how to do it right. When I had looked at my inventory and I was honest about it, every single male partner that I've ever had has had some sort of, there's always been infidelity, there's been lying, there's been cheating, and I'm an excellent detective. I have really, really good skills. I also, you know, I work in management, right, and in finding what's wrong, right, and fixing it. So, I mean, I've really practiced this horrible skill set, I find out, you know, in Essanon. I practice the Essanon problem in my life daily. And with this, you know, giving up the snooping was really, really difficult for me, because anytime I have been able to, you know, to leave a relationship or validate my instincts, it's because I would go to the phone, I would go to the external source. So it's like, you know, I was getting suggested, you know, all of these tools and different things in this program, and I'm not really, really willing to listen to that yet, or, oh, I don't really know about that. And I knew I needed to get a sponsor and connect with somebody in these rooms. And I heard this woman share, and she had a lot of light in her voice and seemed happy, and she's here today. And Vicki, I'm so blessed that I got to meet you, and I just adore you. And you know what she did? She's never told me what to do, which makes me so mad, because I don't know what to do. Don't tell me to trust my instincts and to go to my higher power. I don't know what my higher power is saying. You know, I don't know how I feel. You know, I feel good if I'm getting my way, and I don't feel good if I'm not. You know, I feel good if he's doing it the way that I think he should be doing it, and I feel really great when he's lying to me, and I feel like garbage when he's not. And so, you know, my roller coaster has sort of evolved in the short time that I've been here, in that, you know, it was, he's taken me on a roller coaster. He's got me, you know, this noose around my neck, and he's flinging me around, and I'm up and down in his behavior, him pointing the finger. And then it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, we started to look at, you know, what are my reactions? And this is somebody who is an alcoholic. He's a drug addict, possibly narcissistic, and a sexaholic. And it's my lack of acceptance. When he does those things, I'm jerking myself around. I didn't see that I had power. I didn't see that I had the problem. I thought he was the problem. But it's my attachment to him. It's my idea of how he should be. It's my version of events that I'm comparing his behavior with that's making me so mad, right? If I pick up a spider because I'm wanting to get it out of the house and it bites me, I really don't get mad at the spider. I just, oh gosh, well, I know spiders bite, right? But with this one, I keep thinking this spider's not going to bite me this time if I just, maybe if I'm quiet, maybe if I go with the flow, maybe if I share my feelings, maybe if I write about it, maybe if I, well, don't call Vicki because she's not going to tell you what to do. Maybe if I take my friend's advice, maybe if I go on the trip with him, maybe if I come to the Essanon conference. And I have been taking myself on a ride by trying to manage, manipulate, and control this situation with what has become clear and evident to me, sadly, is a person that is not interested or capable at this time of building and creating a relationship that has mutual respect, honesty, trust, communication, without head games and mind games. And it's a real different experience for me being an Essanon because I'm not married to him. We don't share property and we don't have children. And so, there's a lot of tools that, and a lot of things that other women do in the program to sustain those committed relationships and make them work. But what my journey in this program has been about my journey, within myself, and that I have been accusing him of lying, betraying, cheating, devaluing, minimizing, discarding, discounting. And when I'm really looking at the truth, that's what I've been doing to myself. Because there's been repeated events of dishonesty, but I've been dishonest with myself. I've devalued myself. I've deprioritized what I want. And I have gaslit myself into thinking that I could have this happily ever after romance, and that it's going to be what he promised me at 2 a.m. And when we had that connected weekend together, but he disappeared again. And, oh, it wasn't his fault that he disappeared. And no, this time it's going to be different. And I'm just going to forgive it and we're going to start over. And I've just had this repeated experience of coming to reality. And I am a fantasy addict. I mean, if there's a way of describing that, and my addiction to fantasy, to the best version of who I think he could be or who I want him to be, and my fantasy that I can be the one that, you know, we're gonna come to recovery together and fix, it's all a lie and a delusion to myself. So I have not always stepped off the roller coaster. I did yesterday. I did pretty good. I'm actually really proud of myself because I was able to detach with love. But I have jumped off the roller coaster. I have pushed him and then gotten off the roller coaster. I have been not my best self, and I have been awful and mean and judgmental and condemning. And yesterday when I was sitting there with God by myself and I said, you know, what do we do, God? And I had a choice to go to Las Vegas and meet him and make everything good, or to and blow off my convention that I'd already paid for and everything else, or to let him go and come here, because there was one more lie, one more time. And I said, I love you. I need to take a step back, and I'm going to focus on myself. And this just isn't an option for me anymore. Because at this time in this place, I'm not at a place where I can make that work. So I stepped off the roller coaster. I didn't cry. I didn't feel dramatic. I felt a sense of peace. And I'm grateful to be here. I know God can change hearts. There is a little bit of me that's like, maybe he'll come around, you know, and he'll find his way. But if he does, that's between him and his God, and that's got nothing to do with me. And so I'm taking 2 spiritual steps back. I've blocked the communication because that was another way of, you know, of me getting into delusion and falling into self-deception yet again. And one day at a time, one foot at a time, I want to be present, work on myself, my higher power, and that relationship, and continue to grow and just trust the process, like it was said before. I'm in the middle of my 4-step looking a little bit more about myself. But in this program, the third step that it talks about in here, there's some reference to, and I'm not quoting it exactly, but it said, what if everything is, this is exactly the way it's supposed to be right now in your higher power's design. And this is how this is exactly how it's supposed to be for everybody's greatest good. Would you argue and would you fight against that? No. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't keep insisting on my way. So I'm trying to continue to go to my higher power, trust where I am, be grateful, be, you know, just wait to see what he unfolds and how he can work miracles in my life and others' lives. And whether it's this guy or not this guy, whether it's me walking with my higher power for a while or I never get another relationship again, You know, that's up to him, but I do have a power that wants the best for me, that wants my greatest happiness and my greatest good, that wants me to feel good, you know, and I don't have a higher power that wants to punish me, teach me lessons, and has a really boring life in store for me. Not at all. My higher power wants adventure and fun and love and all of the good things. And so for right now, I want to grow in the image and likeness of the daughter that he created me to be. And I think I'm pretty close to having shared my time. Yeah, that's 4:15. So I will now read the reading. So the reading now is stepping off the roller coaster. It's November 24th, page 329 in Reflections of Hope, which is, my gosh, this book has just saved my life. So stepping off the roller coaster. I used to live with an active sexaholic, believing I had absolutely no choices in my life. I spent 5 years waiting for him to marry me, 5 years that felt like a continuous roller coaster ride. He constantly threatened to leave and often did, though he always returned. I put my life on hold at great cost to my health and well-being. I was so consumed with hoping the sexaholic would be someone different than he was, I lost awareness of who I was. I felt powerless to be anywhere or do anything else. I rode the emotional roller coaster until I found Essanon. In Essanon, I spoke freely about my fears and concerns and was not judged. People loved me even when I could not love myself. At meetings, I heard the truth over and over again. The Essanon program provided me with a map, the steps and traditions, and a compass, the literature, the fellowship, and my sponsor to find my way off the roller coaster. It took some time and heartache to fully grasp the slogan, "Let go and let God." I asked for guidance from my sponsor, said lots of prayers, and focused on my step work. When I was ready, I ended my relationship with the sexaholic and even wished him well. Today, I am grateful to be stepping forward into my new life, trusting that my higher power will guide me. Further reflections. We cannot know for sure that our relationship with the sexaholic will ever be what we might have wished for, but we do know that we can learn to trust a higher power in the process of recovery. And that's Work in the Essanon Program, second edition, page 59, that further reflections. So, before opening the meeting for sharing, I'll read the following. Please remember that this is a recorded meeting. Essanon distributes member recordings to carry the message in the spirit of Step 12. Members share from their own experience and do not represent Essanon as a whole. We encourage listeners to take what you like and leave the rest. I'm now going to open the meeting for sharing by reading the following guidelines. Because our common welfare comes first, here are the guidelines for sharing during our meeting. Please come to the front of the room if you would like to share. Remember, there is no crosstalk. That is, we share with the group as a whole rather than addressing comments or questions to individual members. We limit the length of our sharing so that everyone here will have a chance to speak. Our purpose in sharing is to discuss ourselves, not the sexaholic. And the way the last meeting that I went to was attended was that anybody that wants to share, we've got a nice row of chairs up here behind me. So we can, you know, I'll scoot over here and whoever wants to share next can come to the microphone. And then if there's somebody that would like to volunteer to be a timer so we could keep the shares to a couple minutes. Oh, okay. Yes. Hi, thank you too. What was your name? Thank you, Sarah. And if you have a recording, that's great. A buzzer or something like that, or can just raise your hand and say time. So if there's anybody that would like to share or that would like to contribute to this discussion in recovery, please come up and sit behind me. And I'm also not afraid of calling on people. I probably won't walk around and do a gentle back scratch. I'll just point at you and ask, would you like to share? We all have so much to contribute to each other. So I'd really encourage everybody to participate. And thank you for listening to me and giving me the opportunity to participate in my recovery. Who's going to kick us off? Or am I going to? Hey.
Hi, I'm Ellen, and I'm from San Antonio.
Hey, Ellen.
And I love this topic. I came into program, and it wasn't until I felt a lot of desperation that I bought into what my sponsor had been telling me all along, and that was he is not my solution. And I think that I just thought it always was going to be my spouse. And it wasn't until I let go of that And what it says right here in our reading, that I took the program, the map, and the compass, the steps, tradition, and our literature, and worked it hard, that things began to change in my life. And I think it was getting on my knees and praying every day and showing up at meetings and calling my sponsor and calling other people and just doing those things on repeat. And at first I thought, I don't see any difference in myself. I don't feel like this is ever going to change. But then little by little, layer by layer, meeting by meeting, step by step, I have seen that God has changed myself. And it was only in the changing of myself that I could then be a more happy person. And that was what I wanted all along, was to have that joy that we talk about in the gifts of the program. Thanks.
Thanks, Ellen. Would anybody else like to come up and share? The seats behind me are all empty. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is is Jillian, and I'm from Livingston, Montana. So this is my first live Essanon meeting. I'm a newcomer. And the thing that I think about when I hear this topic is not, I don't so much have a roller coaster as this subterranean tunnel. You know, I've been, you know, working the 12 steps in another program for 45 years now. And so I really understand the need for recovery, but I didn't know I needed to recover with this stuff. I really did think that it was my husband's problem, and largely still think that. No, I really don't. I noticed, you know, you were talking about being good at snooping. I am so good at this. I mean, I should start a snooping industry. I really should. There surely must be money to be made with this skill set that I have. And, you know, I started young. I grew up in an alcoholic household, so at the age of 3, I remember trying to sense the room. And I've been doing that ever since. And this poor man that I've been married to for 40 years does not have a clue. He doesn't stand a chance against what I do. And I don't want this anymore. You know, for a long time, I genuinely was very proud of this. I thought, this is helping me survive. This is helping me cope. I can keep myself safe. That's what I believed. But I'm beginning to see the extent of the trauma that I've suffered and caused myself by a lot of my behavior. You know, growing up in the other program, Al-Anon, yeah, thank you. I just am not sure that I want to do everything that I have to do here, but I'm willing to be here today. That's all.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jean Marie from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hi, Jean Marie.
Getting off the roller coaster reminds me of a recent week that I have. I have 4 adult children, and they all came to visit, which is wonderful, except that my youngest daughter is studying for the bar exam, and I think that's why we got into this mess, is because she was already frayed and decided to change the topic. My husband has a child from one of his acting out behaviors who we have not made contact with, and my daughter started to open the discussion that we should get in touch, and how are we going to do this, and how does everyone feel about it? And it was a valid discussion, but as it went on for the week, a lot came up, and I just was on an emotional roller coaster. So what I was able to do was just keep calling people in the program and keep getting good advice and keep hearing that, okay, what you're doing is good, and keep turning to my higher power And that's the way I was able to maintain some serenity during this very interesting week in my life. So thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Vicki from Tennessee. Glad y'all are all here. You too. I'm one of seven children, so I was on the roller coaster when I was born. You know, it was just going and fun, and, it was a great family. Five brothers, five boys, two girls, just all the time, something going on, laughing, talking, playing. If anything ever went wrong, I didn't know it because I grew up in an everything is fine world. Don't cry. Everything's going to be fine. And so the chaos just kept going. I had a career at AT&T, and I was an operator, then I was a service rep, and I was on a call every 5 seconds. You know, every time I lost a call, I got a new one. And my daddy would say, oh, well, talking is a great career for her. She'll do fine. But in my marriage, I met this guy in first grade, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, the perfect. And I loved the fight. The conflicts seemed like intimacy to me. You know, and one day he said, I'm not going to fight with you anymore. And I'm like, what? And so I think the chaos was something I was really used to. I kind of liked it. And, it's so amazing how working the 12 steps with a sponsor changed that part of me that said, okay, some of the things I wrote down, the managing skills hurt me in my intimate relationships. That I don't need to have my way or demand my way. I just need to relax. Take it easy. Don't struggle. But I love the chaos. And then I determine when I take the ride or I choose the honest, peaceful lifestyle. It's my choice. I didn't know that 15 years ago. We have a son in San Diego. We live from Tennessee. And we came up the coast and drove up the way. I'll finish in just a second. And we wanted to see the beaches. So we pulled over to see an area that was a lookout, and you could walk down to the beach. And my husband paid $15 to park there. And I'm thinking, I've been doing this a couple of 24 hours. And immediately I'm thinking, well, if he's paying $15, then we're going to walk down to the beach for sure, you know. But he didn't, that was not, I mean, expectations kill me. I mean, they still beat me up. You know, they just chew me up and spit me out. And so we're both at odds, right? Standing at the top, are we going to go down? And it was just a back and forth because we're opposites. I think I know what he's thinking and have no clue what he's thinking. But you know what? He's been in this program a day or two, too. And we started talking about it. Well, hey, what do you think? Well, I was thinking this. Well, I was thinking that. Well, okay. And it worked out. And we were there for 30 minutes with the joyful, I mean, it was just the peace of those waves and the ocean. It was a glorious time of meditation and time together that was just worth $1 million, you know. And it's so different today that I don't have to have the chaos. I can just say, what are you thinking? And it's just so different because we left there and he looked at me, he said, 15 years ago, this could have been craziness for the next 2 weeks, for both of us. But instead, we chose the peaceful lifestyle and we're here and we had a ball. And anyway, it's been great. I'm going to quit. Thanks.
Thanks, Vicki.
Jeffrey from Alaska again. It's amazing my higher power has such a great humor, sense of humor. He pulls me by my shirt, so I'm like, oh, before I know it, I'm already standing up. But the roller coaster for me growing up, I thought it was fun. That's all I knew was roller coaster. One of my favorite roller coaster rides was the Texas Giant. I love the roller coaster. But the problem with the roller coaster is I don't control it. And so as the roller coaster goes up and down, I can't control it. I can't stop it. It locks me in. They lock me in. I'm claustrophobic, so I'm locked in. I can't get out. I can't move. And I thought this was all life is supposed to be. This is the way it's supposed to be. And all of a sudden I joined Essanon and realized, guess what? I don't have to be in a locked roller coaster. I don't have to go up and down. This is not fun the way it was. The fun is being free. The freedom to make choices, the freedom to not have control. I don't have to have control because it's above my pay grade anyway, because I don't control anything. I think I do, but it's an illusion. It's just like I think I control when I'm on the roller coaster. I can tell it when to stop, but I can't. And so the thing that I'm taking from this is I just have to learn how to just allow my higher power to do the steering, allow him to be the driver, because he knows when to take me and pull me and to, you know, like I told someone, he watches my heart all the time. He's the best doctor. He watches my heart monitor. And if my heart goes up too high, he knows how to just bring it down. If I go too slow, he knows how to bring it up. I just have to trust the process. And so, no, I can't be on the roller coaster like I wanted to be, but guess what? I can ride with him. And guess what? He has a great speed that he goes, and it's always consistent, which is faithful.
Thank you. Oh, great. Hey, I'm Deborah from, thanks. Like I said last one, I'm originally from here, and I was going to go to a convention for my industry, and this was the same week, and I had a feeling because I, one thing I've been in the program a couple years that I've had to deal with is and learn about is my family and the roller coaster and my family and also my friendships. I seem to attract a certain type of person that maybe there's some qualities in them I want to be like, but they're strong characteristics, and then it ends up a roller coaster with some of my female friendships. And so that's what I like about the program. It's really showed me how my other relationships are affected. And it's been very painful with my family. But yesterday I was with my father, and he said he had a great time. And when he started, it's an argumentative family. So when he started to raise his tone, you know, like, and there's something that happened with his wife. And I was, like, so angry. Like, this dynamic was happening again, and I was here this weekend, so it was very fresh. I'm like, tools of the program, tools of the program. I couldn't even think of a tool, but I'm like, there's a tool, there's a tool, there's a tool. And so the program has really helped me not only with my qualifier but with all my other relationships. So
thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Marianne from San Antonio. Hi. God, there's so many things going through my mind, but I think that this is a relationship disease, and when I'm involved in a relationship, there is a roller coaster. I always want to be right, and I want to be in control. And what I know today is that that's not healthy. I'm not in control of anyone. I'm not even in control of myself. I know that when I am able to practice the traditions and work through them, I get a recipe for healthy behavior. I never had healthy behavior when I came here, so all my relationships were skewed. I, too, started in another 12-step program, but one thing I learned was that the credits are not transferable. And, you know, that I had to start from square one. I had done all the 12 steps in my other program, but this is a whole different animal. This is a whole different ball game. And to me, it was so personal. It was about him doing this to me. It was all about me. As I've stayed in recovery over the years, I've realized that this isn't about me. How narcissistic can I be to think that everything revolves around me? It doesn't. It doesn't. Today, where control and enabling were my solutions, today my higher power is my solution. And I know that he has this little map for me. It's all mapped out. I just have to accept it. And that's what's been my gift, and among other things. And then I'll stop.
Hi, I'm Elise. I'm from San Diego. Hi. When I first came into program, I was a very broken person. I used to describe that it felt like I was in a sewer underground, and I could totally visualize the cap of the sewer being off, and it was literally filled with these disgusting, like a porta potty, bodily excrements. It was just disgusting. It smelled. It felt disgusting, whatever. And I couldn't get out. And I knew that there was this yellow life raft right next to me. And attached to the life raft was a rope that went up to street level. And all of my angels from program were standing at street level, holding the other end of the rope, willing and rooting me on to that they would pull me up. All I had to do was grab hold of the life raft, but I didn't. And I knew it was there, but I didn't grab it. And I kept saying, why? Why don't I grab that life raft? Why don't I want to be saved? And I realized, I said, it felt like there was this magnetic pull that was keeping me down there. And I didn't know what that was. And through really intensive step work, I started to realize that that feeling was all about the adrenaline, and that magnetic pull was pulling me toward this adrenaline rush. My heart would race, I'd get sweaty, I felt like there were butterflies in my throat. And I realized, and this did not come easily, that I had an addiction to adrenaline like the addict, in this case, has for lust. It was just my drug of choice was different. I didn't crave alcohol. I didn't numb out with drugs, whatever. But if I could spend my life on the adrenaline roller coaster and I could point fingers at any of the rest of you and how messed up you were and what you did to me, thank you, I didn't have to look in the mirror and look at myself. And I realized I didn't like the high that I got from adrenaline, and I didn't like the hangover of it either. And I'm really working hard right now at realizing that just like the alcoholic that can't just have one beer, I can't get started down that adrenaline, whatever it is, either. Anyway, thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. I've never done this before. Hi, I'm Adzina from New Jersey. So I feel like ever since I've been born, I've been on an emotional roller coaster growing up in my very dysfunctional, chaotic home. I never knew what would happen next. And, I kind of did that into marriage, marrying my husband, who's an addict. And for years, I would gauge my emotions depending on the people around me. Because like, oh, okay, so was my mother explosive now? Was my father angry? And then it was my husband. And what was his mood? And everything went along them. And it took me so long to find me and to figure out what do I want and what do... And I don't want to go along with everybody around me. And to get off that everyone else's roller coaster, basically, and to try to be on my own. And I am definitely used to chaos, which is why I chose my profession, which is a very stressful, emotional. I never know, you know, I'm kind of in the birth profession, and it's very chaotic and very sudden, and I never know what's going to happen when. But and I think I realized that that's like something I'm just so used to. But I'd like to leave it at my work, and the rest of my life should try to be more grounded and serene, and not, you know, not constantly on this crazy like roller coaster like everyone's. And I think that somebody else mentioned about like not being right, and like needing to always be right and to be in control. And I think that that kept me on that roller coaster of like, you know, of the insanity. And when I took a step back from that and said, you know, I just want to be happy. I don't need to be right. And
let my husband and my mother say whatever they want and do whatever they want and think whatever they want. But, you know, what do I want? So thank you.
Hi, I'm Crystal.
Crystal.
So around 8 months ago was my discovery of my husband. And so I discovered Essanon 7 months-ish ago. And I am so grateful because I have literally been drowning. And the physical ailments, the memory, like short-term memory loss, like the I can't sleep. Like, it's just unreal. And so this program was a lifesaver. And the roller coaster of hypervigilance and trying to control. And I know I can single-handedly, like, save our marriage. And I'm really good at breaking things. I'm really good at being angry. I'm really good at being up and down and everywhere. And I can't go a single week without having peace. And I just came to this moment where I caught myself being his mom. And I just was done. And it doesn't mean that I will be perfect. But I have let so many things go. And I am just discovering this unreal peace. And there's a moment where I wondered if I would go back to my old self. That people pleaser that didn't have a very sure relationship with higher power, that fake. And I have a lot of compassion for her, but I definitely am in a pattern of being with sexaholics. And so something is going on. So I am so grateful to have this unreal, amazing relationship with my higher power, who is loving, who is not guilt-ridden, shameful, controlling, loves me for exactly how I am. I know that I can get off this roller coaster eventually. It will take a while. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks.
Hi, I'm Penny from Montreal, Canada. Coming into program, I was not only on a roller coaster, I was a season pass holder of the amusement park. I had everything, and things were going great. I was sitting there, and life was just taking its turn. And coming into, I got to learn the concept of being powerless and letting go of control and letting go of expectations. But I'm a program for just over 2 years, and just recently I realized that although I let go of control and I took on the concept of powerlessness and everything, but I realized I gave the control to my wife and I allowed my wife to control my destiny and my marriage and my parenting and my own life. And realizing that I don't have to, although I took on the concept of powerlessness, but I gave her the control. Mm-hmm. And knowing that I am an individual for myself and I need to focus on myself, my own life, my own parenting. Although we share responsibilities with the kids, I still have my own life. And knowing that she's not in control of my life is something that came to me just a couple of weeks ago. And hearing the shares here today as well reassured that part and has given me the courage that I need to focus on me and not allow her to control my life. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
We have time for one more.
Or maybe, yeah, let's do two more. Let's do two more. We can get that prayer done real quick. Hi.
Hey. I'm Gary, and I'm from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Hi, Gary.
Glad to be with y'all. We've been married for 48 years, and about 2 months ago, she hadn't shot me yet, and about 90 days ago, she caught me, and I never had any desire to run around, but as I got older and older, I'm 77, but as I got older and older, women were approaching me, and rather than saying, my stock answer has always been, you know what, I don't run around on my wife. But if I ever did, I'll call you first. I don't want to, you know, lower them down like that. So anyway, I've been in it, and between my wife and my son, they caught me. And my wife, my son, we're very close. He said, "Mama, you just need to leave him." And she said, "Well, maybe so, but I'm not going to. What am I going to do at 73 years old? So I'm gonna forgive him, and I'm going to work with him." Can y'all hear me okay? Okay. And so I joined SA. Believe it or not, in Raleigh, 1 million people in that county, there's not an SA chapter. That's just hard to believe. But Greensboro is about an hour and a half away, an hour and 15 minutes. So I joined that. And of course, they're all on Zoom. And that's what I've been doing because I don't like to drive at night in my old age. But anyway, I've been doing that. And I do it on Monday and Wednesday and Thursday. And I'm really getting a lot out of it, a whole lot.
Well, thank you, Gary.
Let me shut up.
Well, we're just so close to having to end at 4:50. And I want to have time for our last share.
Hit me in the mouth. What? I don't hardly know the difference.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is it?
Thank you for sharing.
Sure.
Come on up. Take us out, Crystal.
Well,
thank you. No problem.
I'm Crystal from Alaska.
Hey, Crystal.
And I was kind of hoping we'd end. I was like, oh, good. I don't have to share.
No, take us out.
Because I felt like I needed to share. I'm from Alaska.
Alaska.
Yes, sir. And so, you know, when you get up, you have to kind of like, you have to, you know, you're committed after you stand. So anyway, whew, this is my second in-person meeting. My first one was an hour ago. I'm very new in the program, about a month, so I'm glad to be here.
Oh,
yes, thank you. And I heard a previous share say credits aren't transferable. And I was in a previous 12-step program, and when I was talking to someone of my family members, they're like, "What are you doing? You're going to L.A.? What's going on?" I said, "Well, I was in one program, and it did this, and I want to get in this program." And she said, "Oh, so the other program kind of cleared the leaves, but now you're getting to the roots." I'm like, "Yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to get the roots of all this and that roller coaster thing and that control. You know, I never thought I was controlling, but I thought everyone else was in my life. But I was really controlling really, really badly. And I'm sorry about that." I'm just glad to be here, and I'm glad to get to meet people that I've seen on Zoom, and I'm looking forward to seeing what else is in store for me here. So that's all I got to say.
Thanks, Crystal. Yay. All right. All right, so I'm going to read the closing reminder for everybody. This is an anonymous program. We ask all members to respect our anonymity. The stories you hear are told in confidence and should not be repeated outside the meeting, including to spouses or family members. They are told so that we might better understand the program and ourselves, and to give encouragement and help to the newcomer so that we may keep what we have been given. And let's see. I would like to take us out using the third step prayer, right? Turning our will and our life over to the care of God as we understand Him. So I will read the third step prayer. And for anybody who knows the prayer by heart, please feel free to join me and we can all say it together. God, I offer myself to Thee to build with me and to do with me as Thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do Thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of Thy power, Thy love, and Thy way of life. May I do Thy will always. Amen.